it's interesting to see how I've evolved in terms of spiritually understanding that there probably were things, I just didn't recognize them, but I think when I was a kid, I didn't really pay attention to them, so I think I was almost more on the right path because I really didn't allow things to make me worry. So I would love to get back to the place where I just didn't care, and I just didn't pay attention to it. I just kind of went with the flow, and just things would just happen and manifest, and all good things would, you know, pretty much work out. But I really didn't focus on anything that wasn't working out as much as I do now.
So you're saying your focus?
I'm much more aware now of things, and I think based on my responsibility levels, it brings it a lot more, it hits home a lot more than it did when I was a kid because I didn't have to play that role of being responsible. So I kind of love that carefreeness that I used to have, of not having to be responsible for anything other than just doing well in school, which at that point was like, whatever.
And how could you bring some more of that into your life? What would be like a action step?
I guess just to shift my focus, which I've sort of been really, you know, trying to do more so with if a thought comes in my head that brings me back to the same comfortable feeling of lack or any issue that I feel like I have, I really just focus on changing the thought and just not allowing myself to bring myself back to that level of down that path I don't want to go down, basically. So I just have to be much more mindful and more conscious of it and really just not allow it to take over.
And when you try that, has it worked?
Yeah, actually it has. Because I now know. I know that if I go down that path, nothing changes anyway. So it's kind of like I can choose to go down that path in my old way of thinking, and I'm still going to get the same results. Or I can choose a different thought, a better feeling thought, and I can just see what happens. And it's hard because you want to go back to that comfort level of, like, the thought that makes you feel comfortable, which may not be the good way to go because it's not comfortable in the sense that it's not making you feel better. It's just something you're used to. It's your pattern that you create. But the more I fight that, the more I see better results. So I'm just trying not to worry about it.
It's like a habitual thought that you can fall into, and you kind of make yourself aware of it.
Yeah, I'm trying to break the habit of falling into that bad mindset because it's just an illusion, but it's still an illusion that seems very real. So if I can, I just literally mindfully have to fight it and not allow myself to go down that road because it's not helpful to me. It doesn't serve me.
And so can you tell us one of the things that you do to interrupt it? Like,
A lot of times I just say the word change, and I literally stop for like a good like 30 to 60 seconds, and I kind of try to like just think of something else that I would prefer to think about, whether it's a vacation I've been on, whether it's just repeating words that make me feel better, like the word amazing or unbelievable or this is so great or thank you for my health today or anything that makes me feel better. I just start to plug those thoughts into my head and then I can shift my mind to a different way or a different focus. And then my mind will want to go back to the same thought I was about to think and then I'll have to do it again. And I just do it a little bit until I like can just change the thought or I change what I'm doing. I'll put on a song or I'll just try to come up with an idea in my head that gets me out of that old pattern.
Okay, that's really cool. Well, that's great. I love that little anchor you make to yourself. You just say change, right? Like
yep.
It kind of like brings you back, right? Because you could fall into it, but like you say change, and then it just like kind of, I'm sure that change that you say is not just a dry word because you said it so many times. It probably each time means something deeper. It becomes stronger and stronger, and it like adds
right,
vibration.
It's almost like a hypnosis.
Yeah, it's a type of, you know, quick pattern interrupt that you've built for yourself.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's really cool. Thanks for that share. Go ahead and select. Actually, let's take a moment and welcome Julio to our group. Julio, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Julio.
Can you hear me?
Yes. I'm very excited that you're here tonight on a very powerful night of the year. And I I just wanted to, first of all, welcome you to previewing the group. And I met Julio actually just recently. He contacted me and he said, I want to come in for a Kabbalistic reading. And we got together and we had a really warm conversation. And then I invited him to preview tonight's session. So I'm excited that you're here. I'm going to ask the group to all together, let's just go ahead and say, welcome, Julio.
Welcome, Julio.
Oh, thank you all. I appreciate that. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. So, Julio, what's your thing? What do you remember about teenage years?
Well, I was carefree. I didn't worry about anything. Basically, I didn't have any fears. And now we worry about lots of things and we have, you know, lots of fears and a lot of responsibilities that we have to take care of. So that brings us down, drags us down.
I can't help but notice something really powerful that all of you are saying, which is, like, everybody says, I didn't have fears, I didn't have responsibilities, I didn't have this and that. And one of the things I notice is, I wonder if a teenager lives more from the heart or from the mind.
It's from the heart.
The heart.
And I'm wondering if it's just the fact that we used to be a teenager and therefore we were able to do it, or is it really an element we could still totally get into because of the heart versus mind thing?
I think if we took everything out of the equation of responsibility, we'd probably be the same as we were somewhat as we were younger.
What do you think, Julio?
Well, we could live from the heart still. We just have to overcome the mind. The mind is full of chatter and noise and always telling us what we have to worry about. But if we can control our thoughts, we could live in the heart.
And what have you tried, Julio, that in the past has allowed you to get fully into the heart and, like, you've reaped the benefits from?
To just be in the moment and not think about anything else but what I'm doing at that moment and just get totally engulfed in the moment.
Engulfed in the moment. Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm going to ask I'm going to ask you to choose from these names. I know you haven't met them. You could choose from Tasha and who else is there that I haven't called on? Let's see. Yeah. So Tasha and let me see who else is online. Yeah, I think that's it. So go ahead and choose from Tasha or Anne. Who would you like to be the next person that shares this?
I say Anne.
All right, Anne, you're next.
Okay. And I got a little lost on what you...
So we're just discussing teenage years, what you felt about it, a positive spark that you had in the teenage years and that you remember or you recall that you want to get into more, and the boundaries, how it's laid out for you.
Positive spark was caring about people and dreaming. Nothing was impossible.
Oh, I love those daydreaming days.
I did a lot of daydreaming, but I also did a lot of volunteer work, and it opened my heart and it made me really want to explore more what I could do with my life to help others. The only thing that got in the way was that my parents, they just thought that my dreams were wild ideas and that my head was in the clouds and I needed to come back down to earth, basically.
Yeah. Which is so amazing, right? To have a head in the clouds but be able to still make it practical, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think what happens to most of us is that, I know this happened to me, is that my head was in the clouds. I was daydreaming in high school. I was doing all these things. And then I got sort of like criticized for it because I was like, come on, become practical, get on the ground, show up, you know. And then all of a sudden I felt like the criticism of get up and come down to the ground kind of wiped out the imagination for a while. So I felt
exactly.
Like it's wrong to have an imagination now. It's wrong to dream big. because they told me I need to come back because I got punished for it unconsciously for actually being all the way up there. So I'm wondering if anybody else relates to that.
I do, completely.
I do, too.
So, you know, it's just all coming back to me right now. I'm sitting down with my teenager. I'm like, oh, wow, this is so powerful. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and call upon Tasha.
Being Tamara.
Oh, Tamara, are you there? For some reason, I need
your
number.
It opened awesome. My number.
I don't know why, because over here it didn't show, like, maybe it's because I have no idea why it's like that. But, okay, is Tasha still there?
Yes.
Tasha, you're there? Okay, so we have Tamara and Tasha. Okay, great.
Oh, okay, so there is a Tasha.
There is a Tasha.
Hi, Tasha.
Okay. No, I wasn't confusing you. I just didn't see your number showing up because it shows the numbers that are logged on. So, yeah, so Tasha will go next and then Tamara.
Okay, well, hello, everyone. I had a slightly different childhood memory or experience from my teenage years. I recall, feeling like rebellious and angry a lot. I don't remember feeling free or, not free, but necessarily, dreaming big back then. I think that came more in the college years. But when I was in high school, my high school years, I was more angry and rebellious because, I didn't have the best parent life or child life. And then as I grew up with my parents, I went into college. That's when I started dreaming and getting my, that feeling of freedom for life and dreams and just feeling really positive about where life was going. And so I can connect to what everyone's saying, and I feel like, I don't miss much about my teenage years, but I do miss that feeling that everyone's connecting to when I had that in my college years. And, now I'd say, that might be what's missing, but it's more, the feeling like I can't connect with other people in my life necessarily to understand those needs. And so it's more of a communication situation, but it also could just be, the choices I've made to where I'm at today. And then, trying to deal with that, trying to deal with and accept my choices that I've made to get here and where I can go from here, and also changing my perception of what my dreams are now and how they've changed or how big my dreams actually could be from here. So, I used to dream of traveling for work, for example. Well, I'm not going to be doing that with my two-year-old. And so it's okay, but I can think of other ways to fulfill that need that I have for travel or for culture or whatever it may be. So I just really have to get back to, changing my perception about it. And so I guess, I'm saying the same thing as everyone else, but that's how I'm dealing with it is, trying to change my perception of how I perceive that dream or that happiness that I'm trying to get to, that feeling of freedom and dreaming again, because back then it was, I maxed my credit cards out in college so I could, have a good time and go, get good grades and get through college, with a degree. And so here I am with a lot of debt and trying to move forward with it all. So, I guess I'm saying the same thing as everyone else, but I did have a different experience, I think.
Yeah. And so, you know what, now that you started talking about the word dreams, I would like to I'm going to challenge everyone to just throw out one or two words or a sentence, what's one dream that you just want to throw out here and help us hold you, kind of help us put our intentions for that to manifest for you. Throw one of your dreams right here in front of us. What would be one of those dreams that you're just kind of stopping yourself from, but you're just going to throw it into the middle of the circle so we can empower it together?
Are you talking about me, Tasha?
Yeah, you.
Oh, okay.
You, the
I thought you said everyone. Okay.
But we're going to go around and do that. Yeah.
Yeah, travel. I want to travel more. That is my dream, to travel.
Okay. Travel. Okay. All right. Okay, so I want you to go ahead and visualize that you're throwing in this beautiful dream in the middle of our circle. And everybody, please empower this dream right now. Go ahead and make a picture of it and throw this dream in the middle of the circle. And we're all going to give it a power whoosh, okay? So let's all take a deep breath in and give it a power by saying whoosh. And now visualize this dream expanding and becoming practically possible in a very unique, universal way, whatever that is, how the universe moves things around. And because we have the collective consciousness of the group here tonight, and we have, you know, this night is actually a special night. It's like 8th day of Hanukkah, it's Christmas, it's got all these elements cosmically. But before any of these religious holidays was born, there was creation. And in creation is designed that every night of the year has certain specific powers and elements. And so I want to use all of these energies and just throw it into the manifestation of your dream, especially being that Sagittarius, just from the lunar perspective and solar perspective, just switched to Capricorn, which is all about taking fire element and our dreams and our powers and our visions and turning it into earth, which is all about manifestation, practicality, and money and success. So we want to give you that blessing and throw the circle, and we're going to have other people now starting to throw things in the circle and empower it together. All right, go ahead and tag Tamara. She's waiting to throw her dream into our circle for us.
Come on,
Tamara, bring on the dream.
Bring it on. Well, basically open up more of my psychic powers, more to reach out to the unknown and help others. And I've always wanted to be that way. It was really crushed for me through fear with the religion of, with religion, basically, my mother had instilled. And I've always fought that with her. And it seems little by little, it's just, you know, doors are opening for me.
Hmm.
And I know that when I was younger, I've had that. And it's like little wisps of memory of certain things that I remember. But as religion was beating down on me so much, I lost it through fear. And that's one of my dreams, is basically getting that back where I was as a child, because I know that I could help others in whatever circumstances they are.
Hmm. And so what would be like a forward element like that we want to move towards for you that you're going to throw into the circle so we can all empower it together?
What element?
Yeah, like if you want to give it a word or two, like with a little, give it a name.
Ah, goodness.
Goodness? Is that it?
Visual energy.
Visual energy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So go ahead and throw that into the circle and visualize it however you want, because it personally means something to you and you know what that means. And everybody take a deep breath in and call in from your higher self, from all of your connections to the angels, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and any other angels you connect with, angels of the night, angels of today, angels of all the holiday connections and all of their meanings to you. And allow that feeling to go right through your body from the heart, and let's throw it into the center, empowering the last two dreams that's been swimming inside this circle. And we're going to take a deep breath in. And a whoosh. Awesome. And now the circle is becoming more powerful because we're adding all of our intentions, and it's starting to really, really catch on that beautiful fire, and it's starting to really rise up and turning into something that it can manifest for us in our lives. So with that in mind, we're going to, since we're doing everyone's dreams into the circle, we're going to ask Tamara to select the next person to throw their dream into the circle?
Julio.
Julio, you're on.
Okay, so you want me to tell you my dream?
Yeah, you're going to, like, give us your, like, you know, that dream that you want to focus on, the intention for this year, and throw it into the circle for it with us so we can empower it together.
Okay. Well, my dream is to put people and put in a big way, come up with something revolutionary or evolutionary that will help people transcend their limitations and get some notoriety from it, recognition, so that so that I can be listened or respected in my field, and so at the same time I can help others.
Awesome. You ready to put it into the circle?
Yes, I'm ready.
Awesome. So go ahead and drop it into the circle, and like the hard drive of the universe, powerful night, we're all going to make this happen. And let's take a deep breath in and go ahead and whoosh. And Julio, because we want to make it very manifested in the month of Capricorn, I want you to think of the first step to this dream. What is the first step to this dream?
Okay.
Do you have a picture of the first step?
Write it down, make an outline.
Like, what, you have an outline? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, to write it down and come up with an outline.
No, just a simple, right now, as you're standing right here, I want you, do you have a little picture of the first step that you would take towards this dream? Very simple, like the first step. It could be as simple as writing it down, or like, you know, it could be as simple as...
Releasing it to the universe and having faith that it's going to happen.
Awesome. So releasing it to the universe and having faith that it's going to happen. Great.
Not
holding on to it too much. Okay, good, awesome. Because when you hold on to it, it feels like too much work, right?
Yeah, you don't have faith. You're just anxious and thinking about it constantly. You don't let it go through the process, or you don't let the universe do its work.
Awesome. And that's really, really, that's a really, really good place for you also, because I know you have a lot of, like, you know, we talked about the earth elements in your chart, so it's great that you're, like, kind of relinquishing any control and letting it flow. Awesome.
Yeah,
so now we're going to add to the energy of the circle, so you're going to go ahead and select one more, the next person that's going to be working their dream into the circle.
Tasha.
And third dream?
Wait, did you already put your dream in the circle?
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. So we're going to go, let me give you some names, because I know it's the first time. So the people that haven't done the second part, which is putting your dream in the circle, are, I think, Anne, Michaela, and who else hasn't put their dream in the circle yet?
Julie.
Anne, Michaela, and Julie. Okay, so pick from Anne, Michaela, or Julie.
Julie,
go for it, Julie.
My dream is to manifest a new kitchen.
I love it. So Virgo practical. Do you guys see the difference between a Virgo's dream and... I'm just kidding, girl. So earth practical. So manifest a new kitchen, or does that mean like a brand new kitchen? Does it have to be a remodeled kitchen? Does it have to be the same kitchen? Does it have to be outside of your house? Like, is it like, do you have like a specific pattern to it?
Well, it's funny because I go back and forth with my my manifestation, whether it's in my own house or whether I'm in a brand new home. Part of me doesn't want to limit the idea of having a brand new house.
Okay.
But on the other hand, part of me feels more realistically I'd be able to have a new kitchen where I am. So
if it's a kitchen that makes you feel really good every time you walk into it,
Yeah.
Is that good?
Absolutely. So it could be here or it could be at a new house, whatever the universe would like for me to have.
Okay. Okay. And what's the feeling you want to get from this?
I want to feel like luxurious and just
luxurious.
Like everything in it is just working, functioning, high-end, because I love to cook. So I'm just excited about, like, just being in the kitchen, because that's where I spend most of my time anyway.
Awesome. And would you like to invite us, like, virtually and visually to maybe enjoy some of your foods? Maybe you'll send us some pictures at some point when it's beginning to manifest?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Okay, cool.
Because
we're making it much more real like this. Awesome.
Yep.
So now that I'm going to taste some of that food, I'm starting to get more excited with the energy we're going to put in here. So, all right. So let's go ahead and invite your vision into this circle and visualize it coming into the circle and see all of us around you with the support so that we're downloading so much more massively because of one of the laws that we talked about, the law of fellowship. When there's more than one person involved in the consciousness, just changes completely, and the way we can manifest completely changes. So we're going to use the law of fellowship, which is part of zone 4, the sphere of Tiferet. So it's 4D on the chart, for those of you that have that chart, to help manifest this. And let's take a deep breath in, releasing any limitations of how things can play themselves out, and whoosh. Good. And each time from now on you say the words change, you know, when you're about to change something, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to make it that this change also manifests and reminds you and anchors a shift in the universe for you to draw more of this energy for your kitchen to come together in the best way possible, and the emotions inside you to feel good starting this moment even. So I want you to get the feeling that you want when the kitchen changes or occurs the way you want. And I want you to start actually feeling it this moment with us, because as you get the feeling to come into your body, it helps the universe manifest faster. Is that okay?
Love it.
So I want you to look at the whatever you see in your kitchen, if it's like a cabinet that needs to be different. From now on, I want you to look at the cabinet and look at it as if it's already perfect.
Okay.
And get the good feeling from it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that you already have what you want because you're perfect as you are, and those are manifestations of physical changes that can occur in an instant. Awesome. So now you can go ahead and select another dreamer to manifest with. Come on, dreamers. We have,
okay.
What do we have? Anne and
Mihaela.
Mihaela.
Was it my turn?
Mihaela.
Okay, Mihaela, it's your turn now.
Okay. All right. What do I want to manifest? Well, first thing, a place to live. And somehow either a job or a way of income at this moment. And letting go of all the negative people in my life. Those are my main priorities.
I want you to select the one that will allow all the others to become easier to manifest.
A place to live.
Place to live. Okay, so a good place that you feel good about to live in. Okay, so let's work with that. Okay, give a central focus. Once you get into the energy of moving things around, everything else starts to move around. So let's get into that energy together. And take that deep breath with us, Mihaela, and see yourself as if you already have it. And get some good feeling from it. And notice before you actually fully throw it into a circle, if there's anything that actually comes up that's saying you can't have it. Like, what's any limitations or any blockages or any thoughts?
How?
How? Okay. So you're involved with the how, okay, which is, okay, so you're getting in your own way, right, because you want to know how, and it's impossible for any human being to know how, right? Okay, so you, can we release the how for now?
Yeah, I'll try.
Yeah. Because the how is from the mind, it's not from your heart, right?
Okay.
Right? It's like, you know, calculations and rationalizations, okay? So let's everybody go ahead and say to her, dispel your how.
Dispel your how.
Dispel your how. Get rid
dispel
of your how.
Your...
Let go of your how. Okay. And now let's open your heart, because I know that that's where the real magic happens. Keep that heart a little bit more open right now. And you already know your why, because you have a big mission. Right?
Yes.
So keep your why, let go of your how. Right?
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And all right, let's give this a super boost power from the heart for her. And throw it into that circle together and allow all of the powers and energies of tonight's circle and the previous circles that I've done in the past 10 years with different groups and sessions. I want all of that energy to come into our circle right now. I want to invite again Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and my own unique angels that I connect with, and all of your higher spirits and tonight's spirits and the holiday spirits. Everything good coming into the circle. And go ahead and everybody place your hands into the circle. Visualize your hands going right into the circle and feel the heat and the connection. And notice one of your fingers actually zapping the circle with superpower and energy from the foundation of Yesod, or what we call prosperity in sacral and navel and our intimacy zones of really connecting with the highest, higher self. Empower that. Awesome. And a deep breath in with a whoosh. Whoosh. Good. To add more power to this, I'm going to also place, and you guys can just you can just hear the words in there. It helps the letters Samech Aleph Lamed. These are powerful channels of prosperity, and they represent the alpha power of being dominant and connecting with resources and the circular motion of the universe and learning from mistakes easily and effortlessly. So the Samech represents circular motion. It's actually a round letter, looks like an O. The Aleph literally means alpha, which means getting into alpha and imagination instead of getting caught up with rationalization. And Lamed literally means to learn from the mistakes. So here's the thing that happens to most of us is that as soon as an issue occurs, one of the things we do is we get caught up either with guilt, shame, hiding, or we try to fix the issue. And so it becomes much more difficult for the universe to give us what we want, because what needs to happen, the first thing that needs to happen before we can release the emotion is learn a lesson. Right? If we just immediately go to the learning area of what is this serving me, for what purpose is this happening, and learn the lesson, immediately the emotion can be released and the universe doesn't have to repeat the karma anymore. Right? And you don't even have to take action to fix the lesson, you just have to learn the lesson. Just know it for next time, right? So this is a huge thing. Most people get caught up with fixing the lesson. We just need to withdraw and learn, what is this teaching me? And then immediately put a little practical action so that next time we already take a different route, the universe immediately will work through a whole different route just because we did the learning. Because the only thing, the reason it's happening is because there's a learning from it. Now in Hebrew, the word, in Hebrew and Aramaic, there is no word for why, actually, which is really interesting. We've talked about the word for sin that doesn't exist. It's chet, which means missed target. It also, there's no word for why. The word for why, the closest thing that people use is lama, right? And lama doesn't actually mean why, it means to what end, to what purpose. It comes from the root word le-ma, le-ma, to what end, right? To what purpose. In other words, there's no such thing as why did this happen to me, it's just to what end, to what purpose. Where is this leading me next, which is powerful. Just language by itself can change our whole philosophy and how we view things, right? And so I want to empower that into the circle for you. And let's go to our next wonderful, loving, amazing attendant, Anne. Are you with us?
I'm here.
All right. So, Anne, we're with you. I want to accommodate you with your dreams in the circle.
Well, I also have a couple of them. The main one is a place to call home, and the other one is to have the courage to try to become a lyricist.
To become a what?
Songwriter.
Songwriter. Okay. Awesome. I want you to select one that needs to be the first one for you.
Having a place to call home.
Okay. Having a place to call home. So go ahead and visualize that. See it as if you already have it and place it in the circle.
Okay.
And see what you see, feel what you hear, feel what you feel when you have it. And visualize now that it's 2016. The year is about to turn not 2015, but 2016. And you're looking back at the now, and you already have it all. And notice all the changes that's occurred in your life. You have a place to call home. Things have moved the way you want. And you've also accepted the limitations of things and invited the shift that you're able to with the law of conscious detachment that we talked about. Awesome. And are you ready for your wish?
I'm all ready.
All right, let's do that. Let's give Anne a very big power wish. And she could really, really use this to lift so many things right now for all of us. Ready? 1, 2, 3, deep breath in. And a wish right from the lungs. Whoosh. And we're going to add the letters. For you specifically, Nelech Nun Lamed Chet, which is being able to take that courageous step forward in whatever direction is necessary. Nun represents spiritual falling, being able to get back up, or any type of falling, to get back into the game. Lamed represents the learning again, and Chet represents the throat chakra and releasing any sinful feelings, instead looking at it as a missed target and hitting it again. So Nelech. Go a step forward. The word itself together means take that step forward. And which brings us to the main topic of tonight in the next 9 minutes. Now, did everyone do the circle? Is there anyone that we didn't do the circle with? Okay. All right. It sounds like we all did. Okay, cool. So the topic of tonight, which is all about abundance, is powerful, and specifically for myself too, because it's been one of those powerful things all of my life that I've worked with. And up to 3 years ago, I would never ever talk about abundance or give a lecture or a talk or a speech or a meditation that would directly involve me teaching someone about abundance. And the reason was because I felt I wasn't ready to actually teach that subject or be the representative for it. And in the past couple of years, I've become really, really comfortable with it. And in fact, prior to teach abundance, some things would happen that it just wouldn't go through. So I started to learn the message that that's not the time for me to teach it. And so in the past couple of years when I've been teaching it, it's become so much more fluid because I'm also living it. And I find that to be really, really powerful because when you live it, you can teach it, and it just becomes so much more easier. So I'm really excited to actually be able to talk about this. And one of the things I want to talk about tonight is the law of abundance. So the law of abundance, which is the section of Yesod, which is the foundation, and which is all about money, intimacy, and sexual flow, is section 2E on the chart that we have. For those of you who want to look it up, section 2E. So if you're also listening to the recording, just go to section 2E. And it's zone 2. And basically the law of abundance says that you have within yourself everything you require to make your earthly incarnation a paradise if you choose to accept that which is your divine birthright. We live in a universe of abundance, although the majority of those populating our planet appear to view it as a universe of scarcity. So the law of abundance says that there's more than enough resources and money available for the people who want it and are willing to work it or work for it and connect with it. Now, a couple of things that I think a lot of people that watch The Secret and Law of Attraction, I think a lot of times they make this mistake, and I think I would like to save you from this mistake because I make the same mistake many times in my life, and I've watched so many of my one-on-one clients, like thousands of intimate sessions that I've done, and so many of the group work that I've done, people have this idea. A lot of people think that as long as you do the law of attraction, you're actually going to be abundant. And it's a big mistake because the law of attraction cannot work if you're not doing your specific purpose in this world with your karmic connection. So what that means is that you need to do the law of attraction, but you need to be in alignment with your specific purpose. So, and just because you're good at something doesn't mean it's your purpose. That's an important thing to know. So that puts us in a space of really learning to tap into why am I here this time around, because when you're in the piece of the puzzle of exactly why you're here, everything seems to not necessarily be easy, but you just know you have a calling and you're in it, and it's the hard work becomes so much more sweeter and worthwhile because of the picture of what you know that you belong to. So that's an important piece. Now, there's this law, which I'm going to kind of use this as a building block just because I think it's really necessary. And it says like this, that the more money you earn, the more money you spend. Someone by the name of Parkinson, I guess he talked about this Parkinson's law, right? So the more money you earn, the more money you spend, okay? So he says financial freedom comes from violating this law, which we talked about in the aspect of Tiferet. We've talked about Gvura in the two zones, which is all about restriction, right? But we say that you must learn to have self-control and restriction in order to become abundant, which is really funny because most people think, like, you know, if you're abundant, you just allow all these kinds of, you know, creative energy to come in, right? But we've talked about this idea that, I said this and mentioned this before, that the lamp, you know, that has the two poles, the negative and the positive, if you take, for example, the electricity, the plus and the minus, and you hit them together, one of the things that happens is that you get a huge spark, right? You get a huge spark, and a lot of light in 1 second, but you don't get a lasting light. So that's kind of the idea that we're talking about here, is one of the things you want to put into place is that as your monthly, even if it's like a small bit, as your monthly is growing, you receive the $50 or $80 gift, and as a result, every month it's unique happens, or if it's like you put it into your work, or you ask your boss, or you're an entrepreneur, and you're making it happen. You must violate the law of also raising your expenses every month, because the body constantly craves newer things and wants to satisfy the physical reality. So what happens is if we just keep raising our expenses along with our income, we're never going to get to that place where we actually feel good, that we have enough of a little bit of a like a leeway where we can actually feel relaxed and at ease and let the root chakra let go and come out fight or flight. So that's like the Parkinson's law, which I think really deeply, intimately connects with the law of abundance of Yesod and violating and restricting. And restricting doesn't mean don't buy what you love and don't spend money on yourself. It really means to actually know that you're not trying to grow your income and your expenses all the time at the same time. The key is grow your income, the light that comes in from the universe, from God, and lower your expenses. And when I've done powerful, like, all-day breakthroughs with my clients, with VIP clients, where I do, like, all-day breakthrough, one of the things we always kind of come to discover is that most people that say they don't have enough money for something, a lot of it happens to be a very subtle, but we don't see it. A lot of it, a lot of times it has to do with, like, satisfying desires that are sitting in the background of the mind and the heart that are not specifically... I need to pay attention to this. There's a lot to this that I'm talking about. I want you all to pay attention to this part of violating that law of raising your expenses with your income. Now, the cool thing, we have another minute to go, the cool thing that happens with this is that you don't become rich or more abundant because you are necessarily stopping, you're not letting your expenses grow. That's not the reason you become more abundant. The reason you become more abundant is because of the actual self-control that you practice, which kicks in a whole new mechanism into the universe that starts to deliver money to you in a whole different way, because you become a very different type of vessel that can handle that kind of money. I remember one of my mentors said to me, what's the difference between rich people and poor people, right? And how does the rich people think? He said, rich people, person, wants to become more abundant, to be the type of, want to become the kind of person that can have that kind of vessel to handle that kind of abundance. They're not here to become more abundant, necessarily, it's just become more arrogant. And then somebody else told me something really powerful. He said, whatever you are, you become more of that. And the words he said, I'm going to use the same exact words. He said, if you're an amazing person, when you get more money, you become more amazing. If you're an asshole, he said, you become a bigger asshole. Right? So I thought that's a cool way of looking at it, that we want to make sure our vessel is really ready for that kind of abundance, because you don't want to magnify, if you're like, in arrogance, you don't want to magnify that with more money. You want to make sure you like really get yourself in a softer, good connection place, so that when the power comes in, it magnifies what you have. And that's where I would say keeping an eye on tithing can come in, because tithing takes away the ego from the money. That's like the silk and the warm that like chews everything out. And so those are some really, really important things that I've played with and practice in my own life on a daily basis, and it's always hard work. It's a battle, and I just love to express that tonight. Before we end tonight's call, I want to see if there's anyone that has any comments or announcements. I guess not. My announcement is that next Wednesday, same time, 7 p.m., we will be connecting. And I will send out the normal texts and reminders. We will be focusing on a continuation of the laws of abundance. Next week, we're going to focus on the law of receiving, spending, and saving, and how that connects with the Sefirot of Chesed and Gvura, which is the fifth zone, and the positive pull of how that brings that in. Also, for next week, I want to invite you, if you have any inspirational stories, some more inspiration to the group, I would like you to collect one from your life and to share it with us. I'm very deeply grateful that you all really participated on this night tonight, because I know people just kind of get into the holiday zone, and the fact that you're all here is very heartwarming, because we're a real group, and it shows us how powerful we are behind each other. And I know we all have to make plans to do this with family and holidays and movements and husbands and wives and children and friends. So I'm deeply grateful that you care so much about yourself and the group and the consciousness. And it shows every single one of us that we're going to be there together and make this happen. This year, we're going to have the best 2015 ever. And I want to bless all of us and a good night and a wonderful year. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you, Shane.
Good night.
Thank you, Shane.
Good night.